could we maintain that someone who is involved in, like, let's say, learning their whole life and talking with Hashem can have the same perfection as someone who, at a young age, let's say, does a Kiddush Hashem? Or someone who's fighting a Mechamas Hashem for 10 years and not involved in learning?
In other words, the question is, that let's say a person, a 13-year-old kid, is a Mechuyif to a Mosa Nasha, Kiddush Hashem. All right? So the question is, how could it be that a person who dies when he's 13, how could he have a chelek? How could he say he has the same chelek in Olam Haba as if he would have lived to be 70 and been Gadol Batara? I mean, it's hard to believe that the Rambam says that. How is a person judged? The person is judged according to the two variables, Maisa and Chachma. Okay? So the two variables depends on how it's his knowledge plus how much his actions, his meisim, attach a person to the good. It's an abstract attachment to the good. I mean, it's not a specific point to Yadis. It's not really knowledge per se. It's an attachment to the good, right? So the attachment to the good is really the. Is really what gives the person the chelek in Olam Haba. It's not as chachma, okay? But chachma is a component of attachment to the good. How can a person be attached to the good? He doesn't know what it is. You understand what I mean? It's the attachment to the chachma that gives him the chelek, okay? That you understand what I'm saying, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So the question is like this, yes. So the question, and the meisim also indicate attachment. That's why, for instance, you have Yisachar and Zvulun. So Yisachar and Zvulun, so Zvulun supported Yisachar. But he also has a chelek because it indicates an attachment to the good, that he's willing to give him his own money to support him. So there he excelled in the area of being of meisa, the recognition of the good of Torah. All right, it was a true recognition. So a person can be Zocha through that manner also. Okay. Now, but the question nevertheless is, how could one action at the age of 13 be equivalent to a whole life of Chachma and Maisa? I mean, it's hard to understand such a thing. Right? So you could say that, I mean, it's difficult to say. We understand that it's a great, the Kiddush Shema indicates the highest level of an action. I mean, in terms of Maisa, it's the highest level, because he's Mosa Nafsha. What could be greater than that? I mean, in terms of Maisa, that's the greatest indication of Maisa possible. That's definitely, without a doubt, the greatest indication of Maisa possible. But are we saying that, that he's Zocha through that without any, without Chachma? I mean, it would seem difficult to say that Maisa per se, even in the nth degree, should be able to compensate completely for chachma. I mean, that seems to be a difficult premise. I mean, it's a maisa of the chachmaso, the maisa of a rov chachmaso. It's a combination, but it's difficult to eliminate one component completely, the component of chachma, and say that maisa on the highest level is equal to the combination of maisa and chachma. I mean, when the Rambam says a combination, the combination makes sense, because you have to recognize the good, and then you have to be attached to the good. So, but without the chokhmah aspect, it would seem you're lacking a major component, and no matter how much you're gonna supply in the quantitatively in Maisa, you're not gonna be able to compensate for the lack in chokhmah. It would seem that way on the surface. It's a difficult position to maintain, to say that the mice is so great that it compensates for all the chachma. Okay? I mean, it's like we said, yesh kana alone of the shorachas, but it's not the same. I mean, it's Rabbi Yehuda Nasi cry. Why did he cry? Because it's shorachas. Yeah, it was Mekadosh and Shemayim, but if he would have done it, if it would have changed a little bit earlier, it would have had a whole life of Torah. So yesh kana lama of shorachas could be a great thing, but it's an unfortunate thing too, because he wasted his whole life. So over here, it's difficult to understand how it works. I mean, that's basically the question that you're raising. He's mechuyif. You know, you're right. Over there, he wasted his life. Over here, he's mechuyif to do it. Yeah. You mean you could? I mean, what you're saying is that like this. You're saying that that here he has no choice, basically. In other words, see the reason why is it because the system cannot tolerate. The system cannot tolerate people doing, let's say, avodah zarah. Can't tolerate such a thing. Okay? Or shviras daman. So therefore, or gilei arayos. The system can't tolerate any one of these things being done under any circumstance. Alright? Because a person, if it's done under any circumstance, so then it constitutes a violation which would destroy the entire system. Okay? So now the question is like this. So you could say like this. So you could say that the person who's confronted with this situation, you can't say, well, let's say he's 15 years old, and you say, okay, I'll violate the Yisr, and now I'll continue. So you can't say that even if he lives to be 80 years old and becomes a great Talmud Chacham, you can't say that he's on a higher level than if he would have kept the halacha. Because, in other words, it's impossible for the person to live with that imperfection. That imperfection of not giving his life is something which will prevent him from reaching the highest level, no matter how much he does afterwards. So in other words, what you're saying is he has no choice, basically. You say he has no choice. In other words, since he was confronted with this situation, so it turns out that he has no choice. Because what's he going to do if he violates the halacha? So now he never could. In other words, you can't say that it would be smart for him to violate the halacha and he'll be more perfected by staying alive and learning. That you can't say. So you must say that the mere fact that he violates the halacha prevents him from ever attaining any kind of perfection. So it comes out he's in a situation where he has no choice. Right? He has no choice. So he has to give his life. So you'll say, how is this fair that he has to give his life? So you'll say, it's no different than a person that dies at 15. Anyway, well, what's it? We don't know. How is that fair? We don't know. That's something that we don't understand. Okay? Yes? If he says, I'll do the affair and I'll do tshuva, that's echtav asher. Echtav asher doesn't work. Yeah, if the person didn't follow the halacha and he did tshuva, then it will work. But at the time, he can't say that because the person can say echtav asher. All right? The only difficulty with that, answer is what you're telling me is like this. A mitzvah, the Torah, is a great thing. So you're telling me if this great mitzvah wouldn't have come his way, he would have been much better off. That's hard to... in other words, it comes out that this mitzvah is a tragedy, basically. Not just that he lost his life, but it's a tragedy. It's a mitzvah that through the kiyum mitzvah results in a tragedy in terms of his ultimate chelek and olam haba. That's a hard thing to... it means he would be better off had he not had this wonderful mitzvah. That's a difficult... That's the difficulty with that answer. The answer is logical. You understand? I'm not arguing. The answer is logical. But it's a difficulty to say that... that a mitzvah to Torah, which is Kiddush Hashem, which is the highest mitzvah, that he would have been better off without this wonderful mitzvah. What? It's his own undoing. He's going to suffer a loss, a permanent loss, because he was involved in this great mitzvah. In other words, in an ordinary mitzvah, it takes a preview, so it takes away time. So I say, yeah, it takes away time, but it is a certain quality to your relationship to God. So now your learning will be enhanced. In other words, one enhances the other. They work hand in hand. You're interested in shlemos. Perfection demands that now you don't learn. Now you do a chesed. That's part of the shlemos adam. And the Rambam was lying in bed and taking patience. He's exhausted. I mean, he wasn't learning, but as part of he was involved in mitzvahs, part of shlemos adam. So shlemos adam demanded that he do those things, even though he wasn't able to learn at the time. So it's a shlemus ha'adam, which enhances his perfection, and the learning then goes even deeper. I mean, it affects the learning, it affects the everything. It's one thing. But over here, it's all over. In other words, when you do a mitzvah, you do a mitzvah, so now the learning is more lishma. So now the quality of the learning is enhanced. So now your learning is on a deeper level of lishma, because you're perfecting yourself. Because it's not just the act of learning; it's the quality of lishma in the learning that really perfects the soul. Okay, that's why insofar as the Gemara's question is whether Sinai or different, whether Kahara or different, I mean, it has nothing to do with today's question of Bekiyas or Ian. It's a separate thing. The Gemara is made a practical question in a certain situation, but in terms of Shlemus Adam, it's only Iyun that makes the soul perfected. Not Bekiyas. Bekiyas definitely doesn't make the soul perfected. The Gemara says, Agra de Shmaitz Svara. The Svara is what makes a person see the Godless Torah. So Bekiyas, a person learned X amount of blot, I mean, that's not perfection. He's doing something just to fulfill a certain Yotzom Alechok. I mean, he has a certain ego super satisfaction that he accomplished, he learned a certain amount of blood. That's not Shlemus Adam. The perfection. Now, the Gemara's question is a different question. The Gemara's question is that in terms of the Masoro, what is a more important, what plays a more significant role? So that's what, yeah. Of course. The leader. Yeah, the leader. In terms of the Masara. Of course, the Masara. Yeah. No, it doesn't mean who's more perfected. Remember, the Gemara says Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshis. So the Gemara says that Rav Sheshis was a big bucky, and Rav Nachman was a very deep thinker. So the Gemara says that when Rav Nachman spoke to Rav Sheshis, so his lips would shake because he was afraid Rav Sheshis is going to refute him from a Gemara. When Rav Sheshis spoke to Rav Nachman, his whole body shook because Rav Nachman was a deep thinker. And he's afraid he's going to destroy him in Svara. So you see the Gemara holds which one is superior. Nevertheless, the Allah is Rav Sheshis. Because Allah is Rav Sheshis. We pass on Rav Sheshis. Because we say in terms of the Masara and keeping the Masara intact, so The main thing is the facts. You can't be svara, but the facts come first, and the bigger posik is the one that has the facts, not the svara. That's what Gemara says. But that's a different question. That's not a question of a person's chelav and olam haba. Person's chelav and olam haba is only achieved through svara. Only achieved, not achieved through accumulating facts. I mean, it's only through svara. And the facts, the addition of facts enhance the whole realm of svara, because the more you learn, everything's interrelated. I mean, if you're learning Masechta Erevin, you're dealing with halacha of Schia, and everything's interrelated. So the more knowledge you have, more comprehensive knowledge you have, the deeper you can go in Svara. They're all interrelated. That's why the Gemara says that the Rishonim, their Libon was Kepischo Shel Ulam. What does it mean? It means to say that they were able to see a higher relationships and definitions that went through more areas. See? So we grapple on a little svara. You know what I mean? The difference. So the yedius enhance in terms of the whole picture of Torah. Because as you get more yedius and you understand things deeper, you see broader definitions. But the broad definitions are really the tough ones. You know, it's easy to take a little point and say, is it this, is it that, it's a small thing. But there's a higher hierarchy, and the great Tanoim, that's what it was, the great Tanoim were involved in showing consistency on a higher level through the broader spectrum of the halachas. But a smaller person is caught in a small point. I mean, he's learning, but he's like, is it this, is that. It's nice, it's intellectual, but it's not the same kind of intellect as showing a consistency in say the taharas, it's a different kind of a level. It gets higher, the higher there's a hierarchy, so the broader definitions are always the higher ones. Smaller ones are easier. Broader ones it takes more knowledge and it takes more ideas. But then you have greater svara. The svara is greater too. Okay.
He did know.
It's different. It, it yeah. doesn't mean you know Rav Sheshin is far very well. Yeah, there are different kinds of intellect. I mean, different kinds of intellect. There's an intellect. There's a there some people more retentive than the more retentive intellect, and they, you know the way your intellect is structured. That's the way you go naturally. I mean, you can't always control those things. You can't just be what you want. And it's a different kind of a mind. Different kind of a mind. Person has to work, has to learn to with the type of mind that they have. Okay?
What if you don't have?
Well, one of the main ideas I think that the Rambam develops in what do you call it? In his Pirshei Mishnayos in Chelek, an important idea, I mean, you have to search it out over there, but the main, one of the important ideas is he talks about what's Gehenim and what's Gan Eden, and one of the important things he mentions, as I said, I mean, from the whole gist of what he says, you're not going to find it there openly, but from the gist of what he says, he tries to tell people that people are always looking for good and evil in terms of either physical or psychological pain. That's what they're looking for. But the truth of the matter is that that's a mistake. Like, let's say a person could have been, let's take an example in the physical world. Let's say a person could have been a great millionaire, all right? And he lost the opportunity. Would you say that was a loss? The average person would say, well, if I don't know about it, I don't care. You see? What does that mean? What do you mean if you didn't know about it, you didn't care? You could have had a great life, assuming. I mean, I'm just putting it in the physical realm. We don't believe this. Yeah, but I'm just saying, let's just use that as a form. Assume that the world, assume that's a great life, okay? So the man, the person lost out the ability to have a much better life. But the truth of the matter is that this will not bother the person as much as the psychological pain of knowing that they could have had that. I read recently that there was a woman that she was married to this guy, and she divorced him after like 25 years or something like that. So what happened? It turned out that this guy became extremely successful, and she killed herself. Because she wanted success, and she thought it was a way Yitzhak. After 25 years, how much time do you give the guy? So it just so happened when she divorces him, 2 years later, he becomes one of the biggest, most important people. I think it was in the sports world. In the sports world. So she went and committed suicide. You see? Now the thing is, what killed her basically. If she wouldn't have known about it, she would still be alive. You see, what killed her was the psychological pain. You understand what I'm saying? Right. Exactly. Exactly. What did it? But if she, I'm sure she would say, "Look, if I would have known about it, it wouldn't bother me." But the truth is, we see the Rambam points out that that's a flaw, because a real loss is a loss. You can't say if you didn't know about it. It's like people are this about Olam Haba. They say, one second, I'll have a smaller chelik than the other person. Will I know that? You see? In other words, I'll be sitting next to the next guy over there, and that one has a better thing. It's because people... Because people only consider something bad if it involves either physical or psychological pain. You understand what I'm saying? They don't look at a true reality. The Rambam says that the loss, forget about Gehenna. People always talk about Gehenna. The Rambam tries to get away from that. That's some kind of an idea of a physical, psychological pain. He says that's not the loss. The loss is that you didn't fulfill. You could have had. There was a potential there that never was attained. That's a loss. That's what the Rambam says. That's a real loss. But people aren't afraid of real losses. They're afraid of what do you call it? The apparent losses. In other words, psychological pain. So that's what the Rambam points out. He says, what is Bionish? Bionish is Chama Nechras. Chama Nechras means he had a potential to have another kind of existence, and he'll never attain that. That is a real loss. You understand what I'm saying? It's a difficult kind. Ram tries to get that concept across. It's a very difficult concept. Because most people say, well, look, if I die and I'm cut off, what do I care?
I die.
Yeah, I'm just gone. Yeah, but they
better
don't...
Better
off than burning. Burning is a terrible thing. But the real loss, it's a real loss, because this being had a potential, and it never realized that that's a real loss. It's not a psychological loss, it's a real loss. Okay. So at any rate, that's the point we're making here. The point over here seems to be that the Kiddush Hashem, because the person did this wonderful mitzvah, so they suffer a real loss. In other words, they're unable to realize their potential. That's a real loss. Okay? That's the kasha. That's the question.
They're not bad. They're not bad. I mean, Chaim Daniel wanted to say, because the Rambam, because the Rambam says that, every mitzvah in the Torah, while it perfects a person, it is impossible to say that every mitzvah will perfect a person in every single instance. He said it's virtually impossible to have a system that will accomplish such a thing. He says, and then we have a principle that God does not do the impossible. So therefore, he says, since it's impossible, so it's not a lack of perfection in the Torah. That's it. That is perfection. It's as perfect as it can be. Yeah, by the way, Chasdai Kreskes, who is considered many times an opponent of the Rambam, he's a Talmud of the Rambam, and he's a world-famous philosopher, Chasdai Kreskes. He was considered by the world considers him the first one to break away from Aristotle's system, in his philosophy. But Chasdai Kreskes also brings down that principle that God cannot do the impossible. I mean, that's a principle that everybody agrees on. Anyone that has any knowledge of a little bit deeper understanding of Hashkafa. Okay, so that's what Chaim Daniel is proposing. He's saying like this. He's saying it's true. It may be true that if a young person gives his life, that maybe you'll say it'll be a case of kono lomo b'shah achas, which is unfortunate, but you can't expect a mitzvah to be perfect in every single instance. Okay? Yeah. Right. The only thing that's lacking in that explanation is it'll come out that this mitzvah is usually self-defeating. All right? Because it removes the gavra. All right, so I want to enhance that a little. That's why I say it's a good approach. The approach is good. We have to enhance it a little bit. But first of all, I want to mention something that has nothing to do with this, but I think it's something that's important to know, because it's important l'maisa in b'negeya, everybody's personal life. And especially b'nei yeshiva, here and in Eretz Yisrael. And that is, there is one thing you have to realize. There is one. What is the idea of Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem, which is really, really, Chil Hashem is the worst of eras, you know, and Kiddush Hashem is the greatest mitzvah. So we have to understand. It's an interesting thing, but both of the Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem is contingent upon a psychological phenomenon. You know what it is? It's an interesting thing. But it's a chok v'le'ava. I mean, you can't change it. This is the way it is, and you cannot change it. And I think that people don't realize this, and that's why many times people are very careless when it comes to these areas. And many times it's very easy to make a kid a sham. People just don't do it. They just it's very easy to make a kid a sham. Like the Ben Torah, it shows. It shows a little consideration for somebody, or he acts in a way that he shows that he's very organized, clean. He's, certain things that are easy to do, relatively easy, but people just don't do it. It's an amazing thing. There's a little bit of effort. A person can really be Kaddish Neshamayim many times, and it's just negligence. It's like an amazing thing that is in such an important mitzvah, and the danger of Chil Hashem, which is such a serious avera. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of negligence. I think there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. I think if you understand the reason, it can help you overcome the problem. You see, the reason is because it's based on a principle which we don't like to think about. You understand? You know what I'm talking about? The principle is what is the principle? There's one principle that Kiddush and Chil Hashem is based on. It's a simple psychological principle, which is the principle is that man cannot separate the ideas from the person. It's an amazing thing. Okay. Let's say you have a person who's a respected individual, is considered a gadol. Okay, so what does the gadol do? The gadol teaches ideas of Torah. That's his function. All right, that's his function. His function is to be a malame, to teach, to give people the entree, so to speak, to the whole system of Torah. That's what his function is, right? If this gadol will do an avera, you say, and even if he should admit it's wrong, the whole system will be broken down in the eyes of the people. Why? Why? It doesn't make any sense. He even admits he made a mistake. He admits he's wrong. But the whole system is broken down. Why? Because people do not have the ability to separate the ideas from the person. That's an amazing thing. Why it should be that way can only be explained with an in-depth understanding of the human personality. I mean, it's a psychology. But the fact that it's so is indisputable. Indisputable. That's why a person who people respect, if he does if he's caught doing a dvar avla, it's not just he that suffers, but the entire thing that he represents is destroyed. It's an amazing thing. Why? Because this Amaretz can't distinguish between the Ayil. What's it got to do with him? Who even told you is wrong? So why should that detract you from the concept and from the idea? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, even if he's Malda Badala. But the fact is that people cannot distinguish. And that's why everyone, that's why, what does Chazal say? Chazal say, the Gemara says that, what's the Chilul Hashem? A person doesn't pay, Talmud Chacham doesn't pay the butcher on time, it's a Chilul Hashem. You see? Why? So this we explained. It doesn't mean, Chilul Hashem can only be a Dvar Avera. So where's the Avera? He didn't pay the butcher on time. So the answer is, that's the Chiddush, that Chilul Hashem can be not only Dvar Avera, but even a Midorah. A Midorah is also a Chilul Hashem. So it's not proper meters. He took the food. You got what you wanted. So why are you making him wait? there's no legitimate claim. Yeah, you're right. I'll be in. I didn't do anything wrong. But he has a claim. He never placed the claim. He didn't ask me even. He doesn't mention. So I'll be in. Luckily, I didn't do anything wrong. But it's a midorah. So a midorah and a great person in the Talmud Chacham is also why? Because people can't separate the system from the person. It's a psychological phenomenon, can't explain, that's the way it is. So that means to say, because of that psychological phenomenon, everyone carries a serious burden, especially people who represent Torah. It's an interesting thing. I mean, it's because of that psychological, I think that's why, I believe, that's why people are very lax when it comes to this area. Because a person who is intelligent, and the more intelligent he is, the more he's attached to the ideas themselves, you see, and the personality loses its strength. The more an individual influences by way of personality, the less really he's influencing by way of ideas, because the ideas should speak for themselves. I mean, and that's why I always say, if you take a look at the Tarash of Achsav, you see that Moshe Rabbeinu is never presented as a great personality. No, on the contrary, I said Loish Vermanach. He wasn't able to be a charismatic personality, but his influence was totally by way of conveying ideas. So that was the Ashkocha, that's the way he should be influential. So the more a person recognizes ideas, the less he's dependent on people. So that's why the greater the person, the more difficult it is for him to understand the position of others who are on a lower level, and for them, the ideas and the person are one thing. They can't separate the two. See? And that's why I think people are lax. Especially, you see, sometimes you say, how could this guy, he's a lamdan, he's this, how could this thing, it's chul Hashem. The answer is, precisely, because of the fact that he is on a higher plane, he fails to recognize somebody that's outside that kind of a sphere, and therefore he thinks it's not legitimate that they should say this. Oh, it wasn't so. So what? What does that do with the system of Torah? The system of Torah is perfect. You see? But it's an important thing, I think, to recognize it, because I think if you recognize it, once you focus your mind on something, so that's how you really correct the situation and institute change. And there's no mitzvah that's more important to talk about than this one. I mean, and especially for guys in yeshiva, you really have to. This is where you see whether a person is truly Gover al Yitzro and he's truly perfecting himself, or whether he's fooling himself. You know, he thinks he's, everybody thinks they're great individuals, but this is the area where you see whether a person really can follow his mind and see what how things result, even though emotionally he can't relate to it because he's on a higher plane. He can't relate to it. He had his eyes and looking and did it. So what? Threw a cigarette button on the floor. So what? What's the big deal? It's a terrible level. But the fact is that the people that are observing are observing in a different in their framework, and you are mechuyev to think of their framework. That's the whole concept. Okay. Yeah, it is a matter of experience that that the instances where a Ben Tan Yeshiva helped somebody, this small thing, and this balabas will come and will like praise the whole Yeshiva, the whole Torah suddenly becomes in his mind the importance of Torah becomes augmented, and the whole prestige of Torah is enhanced because of a little thing. I mean, this is a fact. So you're mechuyev to think in terms of other. It's extremely important. I mean, this is really an area of perfection. If a person doesn't do this, if a person can't do this, then it really shows a tremendous lack in terms of their personal perfection. This does not mean that a Ben Torah has to conform to the standards of the Amarts. That's not true. We don't find that Chazal did that, and we don't find there's any demand on any person to conform to standards that are created by Amaratsim. Because, first of all, most of those things are going to involve in one way or another some kind of Isser. Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem depends on what the Torah really says, in reality, what it really says. Okay? Therefore, if the Balabatim creates standards that have no basis in Torah, that's not a Kiddush Hashem to do it. Then that's salesmanship. Salesmanship Torah is nothing. Because that's false. You don't falsify anything. We only do the emes. If the person is so far removed that what is emes appears to them as an avla, that's their problem. The Kiddush Hashem is to do what the emes is. But a midah is that. That's what I'm saying. That was the problem we dealt with. Why is it that Chazal say that if you don't pay the butcher on time or things like that, that it's considered a Chil Hashem? You didn't do anything wrong. So that's what I said. I said midah is also included, but it has to be either a halacha or else a midah. But if it's neither one of those categories, just some standards that people create me daikon, that we don't go along with. That's not Kiddush Hashem. Don't do it. Some nonsense. Nonsense we don't go. The same thing. Talmud Chacham Shenimtza Kesem Bebigda. By the way, Kesem doesn't mean a stink. Kesem means more. It doesn't mean a discoloration. It means unclean. It means like there's food there. That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. I want to know what it means. It doesn't mean a discoloration in the garment. That's not a. It means it's unclean. It has food on his clothes. So lax and covered abrius. Lax and covered abrius is a mida. That's a real thing. It's covered abrius. Okay. But just some nonsense where people say you have to wear this type of garment or this color garment or this or that, we don't know. That's not nice. We don't go along with that. Okay, understand what I'm saying? It has to be something real. But a midah is real. And even a midah can involve a Chil Hashem. And the greater the person, so then the more he's involved. Because a regular person, if his midahs are not so precise, so it's not a Chil Hashem for him because nobody's really, it's not going to affect anybody. It doesn't, again, you see the halacha is, it's the affect in the observer that's koveya the whole institution of Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem. It's the affect in the observer. So if you're a plain ordinary person and no one really is going, what you do is not going to affect the way they look at Torah. So then even if your midas aren't so good, you're not involved. But the great person, it will affect others because people can't separate the person from the ideas. That's the issue. No question. I mean, it's something like that, like cleanliness. You see, kesem bevigdo is considered a terrible thing. It's also the same thing if you come to yeshiva, Baal Bat Kana Yeshiva, the place is unclean. Lax and covered abrius. So, I mean, that's an important thing. It's not that hard to do. It's something you have to do anyways. The truth of the matter is, if you do it the right way, it's usually easier because, you know, it takes less time. If you wait too long, it takes more time. But on the contrary, I'm trying to show you that if you work logically, it's more efficient for you and you can do the Kaddish and Shemayim at the same time and avoid Chil Hashem. It's nice to be involved in the enjoyment of the Svara and Torah and everything. We enjoy it and we appreciate it, but you have to realize that there's another aspect over here, an Avas Hashem, which is based upon your responsibility for the system. responsibility for the system. And it's a truth. I was discussing with my brother this morning that even Socrates recognized that idea. Even Socrates, a guy, he recognized the same thing because he could have saved his life. He could have escaped from Athens, and he didn't do it. Why didn't he do it? Because he says, if I do that, then I'll be destroying the whole system of the whole system of justice, and people will say that this system's no good. He says, and this system really gave me the ability to spend my life in thinking and gain the knowledge that I gained. So here you have a guy, I mean, that was makir the idea, me'atmo, and was mosa nefesh for a system which, I mean, which lahavdil, can't compare it to the perfect system of Torah. I mean, so the kal v'chama, Allah has kal v'chama. But you see that the idea, even a plain, he wasn't an average person, he was a brilliant man. But even a guy, I mean, was able to come to that conclusion. It's an amazing thing. When you look at Kiddush Hashem, I mean, we have to trace down where does Kiddush Hashem come from. I mean, what is it? The question, of course, is that every person will say, I mean, it's a nice mitzvah to do at the end of your life. I mean, a minute before you die, it's very nice to do it. But before that, you always want to be involved in perfection. Okay, yeah. So the mitzvah comes from, what is the mitzvah of where do you find the real, the essential formula of Kiddush Hashem is where? Is v'haftei Hashem l'kecha, means by Krishna, v'haftei Hashem l'kecha v'chol v'vavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol me'lecha. Right? So the thing is like this. So it means to say that Kiddush Hashem Shemayim is a part of the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. That's what it's a component of. Okay? So it means to say like this. It means to say that when a person that has Avas Hashem, really, this mitzvah is the greatest opportunity. It's the greatest opportunity for an individual to perfect himself. Okay? It's the greatest opportunity. How do you know that it's a... There was one person that really formulated. You see that formula from his words. Who was it? It was Rabbi Akiva, because when they took out Rabbi Akiva to kill him or Kiddush Hashem, what did he say? He says, "Kol yomai yisi mitzvah al mitzvah." Kol yomai. He didn't say the last minute. He was postponing it for the last minute. He was waiting for years to be mekayem that mitzvah. So you see that the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem is ipso facto, it's Avas Hashem, really. Avas Hashem. So the mitzvah is necessitated in the Torah because of two things. First of all, it's an impossibility not to have it. That's number one. It's impossible not to have it. Why? Because if it would be permissible, if Rahman al-Islam, say that someone like the Rambam would bow down to that'd be in the cult of Allah. That's it. The system be destroyed. Why? Because the people can't separate the ideas in the system from the person. And that way, if Mordechai was Korea Mishnachava, that would be the end of the whole system. That's it. The end of the system. Okay? So therefore the system must have the mitzvah. The mitzvah is necessitated by the system. But aside from that, on the other side, it really is the greatest form of the kiyum of Avas Hashem. So it's the greatest form of perfection for the yachid. Alright? So the mitzvah is mochach. The mitzvah is mochach both from in terms of the tzibor, you can't have a system without that mitzvah, number one, and two, the fact that this is really the greatest expression of Avas Hashem, and a person who has Avas Hashem will always want to do the mitzvah. Kol yomai heis mitzvah al mitzvah. Even though it would have meant giving up years of Rabbi Akiva's Talmud Torah, he still was looking forward to the mitzvah. Yeah. So now the question is like this. So You see, there are two ways to view a mitzvah. Okay? One way to view a mitzvah is to view, say, look, what did the person gain from the mitzvah? And you say, look, this person unfortunately was mekayim the mitzvah at an early age, and they could have been a greater Talmud Chacham if they would have lived another 50 years and become a tremendous Gadol B'Torah, right? That's the kasha. So what I want to say is like this. What I want to say is that's one way to look at it, right? There's another way to look at mitzvos, and that is, you see, let's say Rabbi Akiva. Would it have been better for Rabbi Akiva to have that mitzvah before? And he wouldn't have been able to reach the greater heights in Talmud Torah that he did. I mean, Doris Kisrei Osios, that the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu asked God, why did you make the Torah so infinitely deep? And he said, because of Rabbi Akiva. So could you say that? The answer obviously is no. I mean, obviously Ashgacha saw fit that it shouldn't be that way. That he shouldn't be robbed of that opportunity. Okay? But now Rabbi Akiva himself says, Kol Yomai Hayisi Mitztar Al Pasuk. Why did he say that? Wasn't it better that it turned out the other way? So what is he saying? Kol Yomai Hayisi Mitztar? It doesn't exist. He should have said, Kol Yomai Hayisi Batayas. Yisim Mitztar. But now, Baruch Hashem, that didn't happen. No, he didn't say that. You see? Why? The answer is very simple. The answer is because the way a person has to look at mitzvos is not in retrospect or in hindsight. That type of a view is only God has that view. You see? Man's view to mitzvos has to be simply in terms of the here and now and perfection. That's the way a person has to look at mitzvahs. A person has no right to look at mitzvahs in terms of what could have been, would have been. That's the cheshbon of that's the hamin bar Hashem v'yachshiv el tzedakah. That's where emunah comes in. That's where yediyah is not appropriate there. That's emunah. Okay? That's Kadosh Baruch Hu chishev as a case. That's God's cheshbonos. Man must always look at mitzvahs in a natural way. In other words, what is going to perfect me at this point? You understand what I'm saying? That is the obligation of man's view is limited. That's the whole concept of emunah. What is the concept of emunah? We don't believe in blind faith. Everything we have is yediyah Hashem. Everything is leida shiyesh Hashem. And the whole kol haTorah is kul yediyah. Never would the Torah say that, never has Moshe Rabbeinu told the people that they didn't have emunah. Atem yedatem, atem re'isem. It's always yediyah. But there's one area where we can't have any yediyah. That's the area of Schav Onesh. Schav Onesh is only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have that view, that ultimate view. And that view involves not just this mitzvah, it involves all different phenomena. People are all flowing in different situations that people have. Unfortunate situations. We don't know. That's Vehem and Barashem. That's it. But So a person, a human being, has to always look simply rationally from his point of view, what will perfect me more? You see? That's what he says. Kol yama yisi mitztayer al posuk zeh, al masa yava yadi v'akava kayameno. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva knew that in terms of human perception, the way that a person has to think is always in the here and now and the rational. You can't think what could be, would be. That's not his cheshbonos. Okay? So therefore, the question that you're asking is basically no question. Why? Because the question is based on a false premise. The premise is hindsight. That how could this person give up his life at 14, but if he would have lived longer, he could have been a Gadol Yisrael. As I say, that kind of question is based on a different kind of knowledge. You understand what I'm saying? That is knowledge of that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's realm. That's Kilo Machshavosei Machshavoseichem. That's it. That's a different kind of. We don't have that kind of knowledge. You understand what I'm saying? Our knowledge, Torah can only give you knowledge that functions as a human being. And what kind of knowledge is that? Right now, what is the best thing to do? So therefore, the mitzvah, whenever it confronts a person, At that point, he must say that this is the greatest opportunity I have. You understand what I'm saying? He cannot say, well, let's say I would live to be 70, and I would have now be a great time. He doesn't know what would happen. This is not his realm. You understand what I'm saying? It's an if. So the question, the reason why the question is so powerful is because it's based on an assumption of knowledge which is not legitimate. It's not legitimate for man to think in such a framework. You understand what I mean? Man has to think in terms of chachma. What does chachma demand? Chachma demands is simply the person must use his mind. Will the person make a business decision and a great opportunity comes and say, well, no, I'll turn this opportunity down because who knows, maybe something else will happen. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make it, it's not all sechali, even in a common business practice. You see? So, kal vachoma in the abstract area, where a person is seeking perfection, so the individual at every moment can only engage in a type of thinking which is rational, which makes sense at the time. So if a person, whenever, that's why Rabbi Kiva says, kol yomai, hayisimit style pasuk, says, kol yomai. He should have said, ach, hayisimit Rabbi Akiva, after 12 years, 24 years, 12 years, so then I started to think, no, kol yomai, it means in the first moment that he had an inkling of the mitzvah, and he understood what Kiddush Hashem is, and how how important it is, and what is a component of Avas Hashem, the moment he realized that, that moment he was attracted to the mitzvah. You see? Because that is the way a person, that's a rational way a person has to think. The power of the question is based on taking a framework that's not legitimate, you see, and applying it to man, and that's why the question appears to be unanswerable. But the true answer to the question is that the framework and the basis of the question is not legitimate. See, man in this world can only think of one thing. What is the best thing for me to improve my life and to give me a chelek in that which is eternal? Okay? In nitzchias. And Kiddush Hashem is the greatest opportunity, and when if that moment should occur, the person must seize the moment, seize the opportunity. Okay? No matter what age he is. You see, that's the rational system. Okay, what would have happened, could have happened, this kind of thinking is not logical for man. It's not logical. The question, you understand what I'm saying? The question really gets its power from an illegitimate construct of thought. It's not a legitimate type of thinking. Okay. Just let me make it a little bit clearer. That, in other words, what we're saying is that the only time a person can... See, the function of mitzvahs is to give man the greatest opportunity. And the only time you have a question on a mitzvah would be if it doesn't conform with that formula. You see? That would be a legitimate question. You show me that a mitzvah does not conform to the formula of giving a person at that moment the greatest opportunity. But this mitzvah is no exception. This mitzvah, on the contrary, conforms precisely to that formula, because since the mitzvah is the greatest expression of Avas Hashem, so at that moment when the person has the mitzvah, it is the most perfect thing for the person to do. You understand? That is the only framework that a person must have in order to judge mitzvahs. That's the only demand the person has of mitzvahs, is that it gives him at every point the greatest opportunity for perfection. Okay?